So, what makes the original Hooters so special? Everybody wants to know our secret recipe. The answer is simple. We care about our people, the food we serve, our guests, and the community around us. We created a unique experience like no other, like watching your favorite team with an ice-cold beer and world-famous chicken wings served by a legendary Hooters girl. What could be better? To us, originality isn't just one thing. It's everything. Hooters, always original.
A big three at the big three positions in fantasy football. Doing the best I can to give you a podcast for the first time in a while, and maybe the first time until next week. Not sure for those of you that don't know. I do live in Tampa, and it has been a challenge. I'm okay. My home seems to be okay. My possessions are still mine. I feel very fortunate. Many of my neighbors are not. But I have power. I have internet. So give me an escape for a few minutes and let me talk some fantasy football with you. This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. My email, if you have any personal questions or just want to say hello, I don't mind. Wright.Todd@yahoo.com. Wright.Todd@yahoo.com. Was not with you for any podcasts all of last week for obvious reasons, and just had some time and availability getting the equipment back up and running. This is as much of a test as anything. It's a test of me mentally. Until now, I have only told people close to me this storm emotionally broke me. And my grandparents, who thankfully didn't go through this, I miss them, but they didn't go through this. But starting with when we moved to the beaches of the Tampa Bay area 50 years ago, I was a little kid, to now, never anything like this. And for those of you who said outside the area, say, well, you know, I heard it wasn't a direct hit. Yeah. A direct hit, and I might not be talking to you. But it's still really bad. It's something every day. And we all have our own challenges here in the state of Florida, not just in the Tampa Bay area, but more than that, going back to Debbie and Helene, which affected the beach communities so much. And then Milton affected me and a lot of my neighbors significantly. So let me talk some fantasy football with you. Let me talk about Hooters also, because for those of you in the greater Tampa Bay area who have power, who are still playing fantasy football and either went to or wanted to go to one of the 11 Tampa Bay area Hooters locations under the original Hooters brand, originalhooters.com, not all of them reopened at the same time. I evacuated to near the Odessa location on State Road 54. I actually drove by that Hooters location on Friday. It was not yet open. I drove by it Saturday, and it was packed for college football and just people looking for a cold drink, some wings. So every location is different. If you're in the greater Tampa Bay area and you're thinking of going to Hooters, I know my friend Tony Metzler, the store manager of the Johns Pass location, has been impacted back to Hurricane Helene because it's right there on the beach, right there on the water. Originalhooters.com has all the phone numbers and more info. So check it out before you head out, okay? And just some areas, I was fortunate in the last 24 hours. I'm recording this on late Monday morning, late last night, to get some gasoline. And I just waited because, A, I didn't need gas. So I didn't have to top off my tank. I'm like, I'm good. Let's just wait. And then on my way home, from doing something last night, I was just like, hey, let's try. And I was able to get some gas with no weight. I have a full tank. I might get out of here in a couple of days. Just to be around some normal things, which is why this may be the only fantasy podcast I do this week. I hope you understand. But every community is different with power, with gas. There are so many challenges, some close to home for me. You may have seen my building on the news. I won't go into that at this time. Again, I'm okay. My stuff's okay. That's all I can ask. I'll talk about that more a little down the road. Let's do an escape. But yeah, originalhooters.com, 11 locations. But reach out before you head out as they're all trying to get back up and running. And be kind to the staff working. I know I have gone to a couple of locations of various restaurants, keep an eye on a football game, or just say hi to friends in the last week. Be good to the staff. You know, they got a lot on their mind and they're working for us, and make them feel appreciated. It doesn't have to be with money. Money's nice. Just tell them they're appreciated. Okay, so thanks to Hooters for their continued presenting sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, and for those stores that are open. Yeah. This isn't easy. Okay. So many injuries in fantasy football. Yeah, just saying that's kind of an escape. And just an example of, in my two leagues, the Coalition, the Foundation. In the Coalition, going into the Monday night game, I could barely score at all. In the Foundation, I put up what may be a record number. So it just shows how the process can be different for a team in one league and as opposed to something else. So, yeah, I'm going to win in one league, probably not going to win in the other, and they couldn't be different. Even though I have some of the same players, but some of the same players were ironically on week six byes. Let's look at three key positions, running back, wide receiver, and quarterback. And below the surface, this is going into the Monday night game, so it's not really inclusive of any Bills or Jets, of guys who are producing on average when they play, independent of injury, below the surface of where what their ADP was, where we did or did not draft them. Derrick Henry, I'm thrilled to own him. Got him in the foundation, and he has delivered consistently. He's the number one running back out there. Below the surface of number one, and we're not going too far down here, but guys who weren't drafted to be RB1s that are putting up RB1 numbers. I would imagine many of you drafted these three guys I'm going to highlight as RB2s. And we're hoping for the best. And through 6 weeks, you've gotten it. Kamara, Mixon, Montgomery. Let's take them individually. Kamara, another huge game despite the loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as the Saints continue to struggle vertically. They didn't the first couple of games, although Kamara was very big. Saints have some really good talent up front. New offensive coordinator in Kubiak. Getting the most out of Kamara. And it's not like this is coming via the air. It's not that that's totally shut off, but Kamara has been a very effective, consistent producer on the ground for the New Orleans Saints. And if you drafted him as an RB2, you are getting RB1 production and feel really good about it. Joe Mixon missed a little time, came back. You know, one of the concerns about Kamara and Mixon was the age thing. No, they're not 30, but even Matthew Berry has talked about how fantasy running back production tends to drop off once guys turn 28. But Kamara and Mixon have gotten it done this year on a consistent basis. Per game, in games where they've played, Mixon returns in week six, has an enormous game for the Texans. And for those that worried about him age-wise or going from Cincinnati to Houston. Why would Cincinnati let him go? Houston always strikes us as a pass-first type attack. The more you look at the numbers, though, of the Texans, the more you realize that they're not as pass-happy as it appears on the surface. They have another very good offensive coordinator in Coach Slowik, just as the Saints do with Kubiak, and there needs to be a balance there. And there's a ball control element there. There's a time of possession element, keeping the ball out of these opponents' hands, wearing down the defense, and Mixon is used very well and has been extremely productive for the games he's played. You had to deal with a game or two there where he wasn't, but you had to feel good if you own him. He came back. You put him in. I hope you put him in your lineup, and he played well for you in week six. And even I reached out to an owner in the coalition who drafted David Montgomery. I didn't know what to make of David Montgomery this year. In virtually every league I know, Jahmyr Gibbs was going significantly higher than David Montgomery. Jahmyr Gibbs was being drafted as an RB1. David Montgomery kind of drafted as an RB2. I think most people were drafting David Montgomery saying, okay, well, I'm going to draft him if Gibbs gets hurt. But Montgomery's role has been as solid as last year, especially close to the goal line, often on early downs. You saw the Lions just gave him a contract extension, big game in a blasting of Dallas. I've always admired the athleticism of David Montgomery with how he runs the football. So call me. This was less about age and more about, okay, the Lions are going to feature more Jahmyr Gibbs this year because Gibbs was really good last year. It's been about what it was last year. And dare I say, you know, I haven't compared the first 6 weeks of Montgomery this year to last year. It feels like Montgomery's doing more. Now, granted, that big game against the Cowboys could skew it a little bit. But yeah, for those of you who believed in David Montgomery, that took a chance on him, no matter what the reason was. I've said for years about fantasy football, with some of the better offenses, sometimes you just want to grab a piece of it and have it for when you need it, especially on a bye or an injury. You're like, well, I have this guy on this offense, and they should score some points, so maybe my guy will score points too. And Detroit is one of those offenses. I don't have David Montgomery. In one league, I have Jameson Williams, and thank goodness I played him against Dallas. It was sort of a, do I play Jameson Williams or Tolbert? And the previous two games, Jameson Williams had caught three balls. But back to Montgomery, you drafted him. You drafted Kamara, Mixon, or Montgomery. Would we all agree you're getting more than you ever imagined? Could you sell high? You could. But really, I have no reason to think there's an automatic drop-off here. You got to get a lot in return if you think Kamara, Mixon, or Montgomery are sell-high candidates and injuries are tough to predict. Let's go to wide receivers, where actually on a per-game basis based on games played, and it hadn't been many, A.J. Brown is technically wide receiver one on a per-game played basis. But let's go below that with some guys who weren't drafted to be wide receiver ones. And in order of production, I'm just skipping through here. It's not like these are in order behind A.J. Brown. But let's highlight Chris Godwin. And a huge bounce back year for Godwin. It is a contract year for Godwin. You wonder, will Jason Light and the Buccaneers do for Godwin what the Lions just did for David Montgomery? And Godwin's making a good amount of money. And recently even restructured his deal. This is before Evans got re-signed, Baker got re-signed, Lavonte David got re-signed, Wirfs and Winfield got their extensions. But do the Bucs really want to let Godwin hit free agency? Godwin's been utilized a lot by Liam Cohen's offensive scheme out of the slot. Maybe this is a health thing also with Godwin, looking back at his production from last year. A regular listener of the podcast texted me, and he's got no skin in the game with the Buccaneers, and just said, basically alluding to the fact that we've gone from Dave Canales to Liam Cohen. The Bucs lost Canales. Losing Cohen would be tough to fill. You can't lose your OC 2 years in a row. And Cohen's doing some more creative things than Canales did in various ways. I saw a lot of the Bucs game against New Orleans, and it does look different and more than just we've got to run on first down, which was a Canales staple. So using Godwin out of the slot, making the most of him in a game where Evans was hurt and the Bucs put up 50 plus, I would imagine you drafted Godwin hoping you'd get a wide receiver 2/3. You're getting wide receiver 1 production. I don't know if it's sustainable. Sure, Godwin's a sell high, but you'd have to get a lot in return. Godwin is building up the chemistry with Baker Mayfield the way Mike Evans did last year. Reed for Green Bay. Now, granted, Reed had, I believe it was an ankle injury after getting on the board in Green Bay's route of Arizona. But I, in one of my leagues, got Reed in a later round. It wasn't even drafted to be a wide receiver, too, and I don't know why, because I remember watching last year on Thanksgiving and beyond as the Packers surged towards the playoffs after actually that was Thanksgiving, and I know around Christmas they struggled with that loss of the Giants. Still a very young team. Young team last year, young team this year. Jaden Reed just makes plays. They like to get him the ball. Sure, there's a lot of people who are potential impact players on that Packer offense. You know, Dobbs had a couple of touchdowns on Sunday, week 6. Wicks was a hot waiver wire ad. Christian Watson got in the end zone. You know, when he's healthy, he's always a threat to score. But Reed just strikes me as a guy who I'm not taking out of my lineup because I think every game they're going to call his number more than a time or two with the expectation that Reed could go to the house. And that's invaluable. Something that the Tyreek Hill owners aren't getting right now. Part of the reason why I played Jameson Williams, because he can do the same thing. But Reed's a big part of what Green Bay does, check status. But I know from drafting him, I don't know, 8th or 9th round, why he lasted that long. I can't get him out of my lineup. And I hope he's healthy. And then we get to Stephon Diggs. What have I told you guys for years? It was a hard lesson for me. And then I learned it, and then I stood by it. That when a wide receiver 1 changes teams, it doesn't necessarily mean he's not going to be a wide receiver 1 anymore. As we speak, Stephon Diggs is putting up wide receiver 1 numbers on the lower end, but they're wide receiver 1 numbers. Nico Collins just goes, he's going to be out a little bit. And Diggs scored 2 touchdowns in the opener. Solid game, despite Joe Mixon's big game on Sunday. Diggs had a big game, even though Tank Dell was the first guy to score off the board. I see this every year, and Diggs was the latest example, and we talked about it back in August on the podcast, and I saw people devaluing Stephon Diggs. And I'm not saying Diggs may not have checked out in Buffalo, but it seems like Josh Allen checked out on Stephon Diggs. And Josh Allen's had some issues suddenly, not putting up that production that we've seen from Josh Allen the last 4 years as the number one player in fantasy football. There isn't really a number one guy for Allen to feature. Kincaid's numbers are down. There's been injuries. Coleman was benched for a quarter for disciplinary reasons, is not catching a lot of balls. And it allows defenses to focus on Cook, which is causing the Bills some problems. But Diggs, who I believed in, who I invested in, has paid off for me in Houston. Again, an offensive coordinator that knows how to use him. And for those that thought Diggs would be a problem, you know, and a guy that the Texans shouldn't add, you were wrong. And he's been a wide receiver 1. Do you sell high on Diggs, knowing Collins will probably come back? And sure, I think Collins is better. I guess you can, but you better get a lot in return. You know, Diggs has done this twice now. He went from Vikings to Bills, still produced. Bills to Texans, still produced. Let's do one other position, and that'll be enough for today. Thanks for bearing with me. Apologize for no podcast last week. As we speak right now, before the Monday night game between the Bills and Jets, when we're recording this, Lamar Jackson is the number one quarterback in fantasy football, according to my standard 21st century scoring settings. Just below that are these guys in the top six of my scoring settings. You have Baker Mayfield, who in a wild game against the Saints just continues to put up numbers, showing a willingness to use his legs a little more than he has in the past. You know, Godwin's numbers are up. Again, Liam Cohen is offensive coordinator. The Bucs are doing some great things offensively. And even though you don't think of Baker Mayfield as a quarterback who's a dual threat, he's doing enough to supplement throwing multiple touchdowns a game, most games. Baker Mayfield was drafted maybe as a backup quarterback in most of your leagues. He's performing like a starting quarterback in fantasy football until further notice. Could you sell high on Baker Mayfield? Or if you drafted him as a backup, and let's say you have Lamar Jackson, you have a guy I'm just about to talk about, and you're like, I can't get Baker in my lineup, then maybe you want to think about trading him. It's tough to trade quarterbacks, in my opinion, in fantasy football, because in general, it's a position where you can get somebody. Now, if it's a 12-team league where a lot of people are holding backups, or a 14-team league, maybe not so much. But it is tougher to trade quarterbacks and feel you get a lot in return. But if someone makes you an offer for Baker Mayfield at this point, and you feel good with who you have, that you drafted as your QB1, consider it. Or if you've been stubborn with a guy you drafted at QB1 and haven't been playing Baker Mayfield, you need to make the change. You really do. I think what Baker is doing is sustainable, pending Mike Evans being okay. I mean, Rashad White didn't even play against New Orleans. That was their number one running back last year. And I know many are disappointed by Rashad's lack of production, who drafted him fantasy-wise, and the Bucs just keep pushing forward. Jayden Daniels. Most of you know that in the foundation, I did a total throwback to, mid-2010s, late 2010s, went running back first two rounds, and then just drafted pass catcher after pass catcher, threw in a Raheem Mostert pick. Finally, he's playing. And then I was like, okay, eighth round, I got to do this. And I took Jayden Daniels to be my starting quarterback. It has worked out for me. There was one week I sat him down, ironically, in a game against Kyler Murray. Murray's no longer on my team. Sorry, Matthew Berry, with your ride or die. Daniels is in there and locked in as my quarterback. Do I expect some regression at some point? Yes, I do, but man, just the way he keeps drives alive, and when he unleashes a throw deep, it's impressive with just the flight of the ball, the velocity, whether it's caught or not. It's obviously resulted in McLaurin, and I have someone cut McLaurin in my league, so I now stack McLaurin and Daniels. But Jayden Daniels has certainly worked out. For those of you who drafted him as a maybe backup quarterback, yeah, you've probably been playing him. I drafted him as a starter. And then Justin Fields, who was probably not selected in a lot of fantasy drafts because at the time the expectation was Russell Wilson would start. I know I, as a surrogate in a draft I observed, was asked to make some picks for someone who was unavailable, and I took Fields as his backup. I can only hope he didn't cut him, because Fields has worked out. I owned Fields for a while in one of my leagues. Granted, I have Josh Allen starting in one league. I have Jayden Daniels starting in the other. I haven't put Fields in a starting lineup. Actually made a deal in one of my leagues involving Fields to get some running back help that worked out a bit, now not so much. But Fields using his legs. I mean, we're 6 weeks down the road here, and the Steelers are still winning, and Fields is still producing. And he's just someone who's valuable for you to have. I'm not saying this is sustainable, but we all know from Fields' days in Chicago and with his legs, he's going to do enough if he gets the start to justify you putting him in the starting lineup if you don't have a better option. He may be like the best backup quarterback in fantasy football to have on your roster. And the why I say that is, look, I don't know if I just want to, you know, set it and forget it, because it's kind of a week-to-week thing with Fields, it seems like. And there are other better options out there. In my scoring settings, I think he's sixth. Okay, but that's mid-range QB1, and it can go up and it can go down. But the legs alone, a huge deal. And he's had some drops. He had a drop touchdown from Pickens, big surprise, in the win against the Silver and Black. But Fields is a guy that most people didn't even draft. And he's putting up mid-range QB1 numbers. So could be a sell-high candidate for you, or honestly, a great backup quarterback if you want to carry one, if you happen to have him. And I know he's available in some leagues, at least going into the waiver process this week. I'll leave it there. Email me. Say hi. Distract me. Trust me, I need it. Write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com with your personal fantasy questions. Thank you for listening to this delayed edition. I hope to get you another one soon of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Hooters.